This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo back in the building today. Shout out to Jesse Tapia. He was very good yesterday with Kenny Caraway. Super fun show, so make sure to lock in. Can't wait to talk about Disneyland with Damian. It's going to be the best.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Also, we were talking at the break. I said we were going to talk about it at the break because I didn't want to talk about it on air, but We're going to do it on air now.
Okay.
We were talking about the whole idea of you can wear like a baseball hat of a different team than your favorite team and nobody bats an eye. But if you wear a football hat of a different team, it's weird. Or if you wore a football jersey of a different team than your favorite team, it's weird. But if you wore a basketball jersey, nobody bats an eye.
Yeah.
And I do think that is so interesting. It is such a fascinating like look into sports fandom. I would love to dissect it. I don't know exactly. I would love to try and find out the psychology behind that.
Yeah.
But football just feels so much more like tribal and like visceral, the sport is just so violent that I think that bleeds over into the fandom. Whereas like basketball, it's like, yeah, it's a contact sport, but like, man, people are more fans of players than teams. And you can be a Kings fan, but you can also be like, man, you know what? I really love watching
Scotty Barnes.
Yeah.
Scotty Barnes.
Yeah. Maybe you're just a huge, you're like, man, you know what? Love Scotty Barnes. Huge Kings fan. Diehard Kings fan. Season ticket holder. But man, Scotty Barnes is that dude. Or pick a player.
Yeah. I think it also plays into
socially accepted.
Like this really weird notion that the face of the league idea, right? Because I think the NFL, we can talk about that, you know, Mahomes being the face of the league or whoever you want to be the face of the league. Baseball, you know, they tried to make Mike Trout the face of the league and that hasn't worked at all. But the NBA, there is always a face of the league, at least for the last like 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had your Jordan era, then, you know, whether it's you have your AI, you have your T-Mac, your Kobe, like LeBron, like there's always like a face of the league and there's always like a hierarchy of the league. And I think it is acceptable for people from other teams to have, you know, a Kevin Durant jersey or, you know, LeBron jersey.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's just really, I think it's the way the NBA has been marketed, which has been so much better than the other leagues.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the hats, it's very interesting, especially with baseball, where you do see, I mean, how many hats does Kenny have? He has a hat for every team, it feels like.
Yeah,
yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. I don't wear sports hats at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea the psychology behind it, but it is interesting, and I have always wondered about that, and I don't have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of how it is. Like, it is, it's just, I hate the phrase, it is what it is, but that's 100% what it is. So, anyways.
All right.
If you want to know more about what we talk about at the breaks, you can visit youtube.com/ESPN1320.
There it is.
We don't go to break there. We just talk about whatever the heck the chatty house is talking about. All right. Demontis Sabonis. I didn't get this video ready because I was busy talking about hats. So I'm going to have to get the video ready as we talk here. But Demontis Sabonis talked at practice yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we've discussed before the idea that Mike Brown had talked about him shooting more threes this year. And what's up, Kenny? Yeah, your headphones are right there. There you go. All right. Kenny Caraway, everybody, coming up at noon. D'Lo and Casey, tap in. I need to be better about not being distracted when people walk in.
We're just having a weird day. That's the fourth person to walk into the studio today.
Yeah, nobody ever talks to us.
They never come in here.
And yet today we've had a bunch of people just pull up into the studio. It's fine.
Yeah, just like walk in.
But Mike Brown talked about one of the adjustments the Kings make, or one of the adjustments the Kings can make offensively this year is Domas shooting more threes. He wants Domas to shoot 3 to 5 a game. And Domas talked about it at practice yesterday. He posted the video at James_HamNBA on Twitter. Subscribe to the Kings Beat and listen to the Kings Beat podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Here's Domas talking about shooting more three-pointers.
Talked a little bit about three-point shooting, and he's okay with you maybe even encouraging you to maybe get up to like 3, 4, 5 attempts a game. Yeah. Is that what are your thoughts on that?
That's definitely true. I'm trying to find moments in the game where I can do that, you know, without also trying to find a balance with my playmaking. So as the preseason games go on, that's where I can start to try and test those waters.
You've been pretty efficient, like, out there when you do shoot them. Does that give you confidence to maybe increase that number a little bit?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, in the past, when I have shoot them, it's a decent clip, you know, so I just got to shoot them more with confidence.
How do you find the balance? Because you're a naturally unselfish player, and it just seems to be counter to who you are.
It's tough, because sometimes when I do pass up a shot, it'll lead to another play for someone else or an easy bucket, you know what I mean? So it's I just have to find the rhythm, you know?
So here's and this is going to be the push-pull all year, pause, on this. Because he says, when you asked him, your natural inclination as a player is to pass. That's mm-hmm. your unselfish tendency. And he says there, like, because sometimes when I pass up a shot, it's getting a, you know, passing up a good shot for a great shot, or I get somebody else a good look. And I fully understand that. I that is cut and dry. Domas believes, hey, I can be up here at the top of the key shooting this three at 35%. Or if I wait for a second, I can hit Keegan on a backdoor cut and he's got a layup, mm-hmm. right? Like that's, I understand that is fundamentally how that works to him and how that has worked to him and how he's been so successful. On the other hand, I think that there's an opportunity if he does start shooting, let's call it, four. Because I don't want to say three threes. Let's say he starts taking 4 3-pointers a game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's land on that number for now. I understand that maybe that means there's not an easy basket for Keegan or whoever. But at the same time, it changes if he can stay efficient and shoot, what do you think, 35%?
Yeah.
Is that
35? Yeah.
A good enough percentage that teams don't go, okay, great. Yeah, you blaze away, big guy. Like, go ahead. Making teams come out and defend you differently, I think will open up the offense more, open up the floor more. And I think by virtue of doing that, he can do both. He can thread the needle of, yeah, shooting more threes and hitting them at an efficient clip may change how teams are defending you, thus getting even more open shots for your teammates than you would get it if you didn't shoot those threes. Did I articulate that correctly?
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. And like I went through and I looked at the stats, and Domantas Sabonis in the first half of the season was like shot like 42% from three. And this in the second, the post All-Star break like stretch, he only took 26 threes in 28 games. That's not enough. And he only hit 7 of them. So his percentage was all the way down to like 26%. Mm-hmm. If he would have shot 3 more threes, if he would have hit 3 more threes, he would have shot like 38 point something percent.
Yeah.
So So the small sample size of only taking 26 threes, it hurt him. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it helped the Kings, especially as they got to a point where they needed more scoring and they needed more perimeter shooting once you lost Monk, once you lost Kevin Huerter. But I think that this is going to be the problem with Domas. It's not that he's going to be bad at shooting threes, because Sabonis is a player who, whatever his weaknesses are, he tries to work on them in the offseason. He's,
sure,
you know, he's with Doug Christie the entire summer working out and trying to get better at the game of basketball. And sometimes, like, we've seen that, like, again, he's better at shooting the three. The three is going in more than it's not. But that doesn't change who he is as a player. And I really do think he's going to be fighting this the whole time, because he doesn't want to be selfish. And because, sure, this is a player that averaged, you know, 8 assists per game last season.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, his role with this team is to be a quarterback, to make sure that everybody is getting to eat. And I think he's going to struggle with the idea that he has to shoot it. There are at least 3 or 4 times a game where he has an opportunity to take a three and he does not pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. That's where you need him to automatically lock
yes.
it and do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I still think he can very easily average 8 assists a game, because not every three that he passes up leads to an assist.
Yeah.
Like, not every three. There are so many times, and this is another aspect of this. We talked about this at games together. Domas misses his first three.
Over.
Chances are he's not taking another one.
Yes.
And defenses know that. So now not only do you have defenses sagging off because, yeah, hey, we're going to make you prove you can hit it, but now they know, A, he missed the first one. God forbid he misses two. A, when he's out there, don't bother.
Yep.
We're going to play 4-on-5 and he can stand out there and look. And that's, and again, he's been successful with it. I totally get it. And I get why he's 27, 28 years old now. He's been playing this style for so long and he's mm-hmm. had so much success with it that it's not going to be super easy in one offseason to be like, yeah, I'm just going to start shooting threes now. But at the same time, I think there's so much value in it for the Kings offense. If he can shoot 4 a game, hit 35%, I think it just opens up. You start to talk all this talk already about, like, oh, what's their spacing going to look like? Hey, all right, well, there it is. There's yeah. your big man shooting 36% and he's shooting 3 to 4 a game.
Yep.
I'm really, really interested to see how that plays out over the course of the year, because it's not like Mike Brown gives a guy a green light and the guy suddenly goes, great, I'm going to start shooting it. Keegan's had a green light. Keegan's had the greenest light.
Yeah.
And it's still been a little hesitation here, a little hesitation there. So I'm interested to see how that evolves, because they've got to learn, and we've heard Domas say this when you were out at his camp, and he said, you know, we got to learn to play around DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment there. And then B, how off of that is one of those adjustments just off the dribble handoff? Domas just takes a step back behind the three, and that's a kickout option for DeMar? Or
yes.
is it right? Like, is that what it is? Or is it, man, hey, you know what? Sometimes we're going to get out of the break and you're going to have a trailer. Just launch it.
That's what the trailing three is what I would love to see.
Yeah.
Because there are so many opportunities. But I also feel in the half court, there's potential for him shooting more threes to gum up the DHO game. Because we talk about this, well, if he starts shooting and hitting threes, then his man is going to have to come out. Well, now, as opposed to what's been happening the last 2 years in Sacramento, where you're able to run all of these dribble handoffs off the top of him because his man is sagging all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So now all he has to do is pick one guy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to worry about the other guy because the other guy's already sagging 5 feet off.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you've done is there's a potential for this to crowd the DHO game if he does hit the three. And I don't know. I want to see how it works in functionality.
But now you're opening, yeah, no, and that's fair. But now you're opening space under the basket.
Maybe.
Like, great. Isn't that the goal, is to pull the center away? Like, not, I don't.
Well, when the goal is to shoot 35 threes a game, I don't know.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's going to be complex. Like, I don't think there is a butterfly effect to anything you do as a player.
No doubt.
And for me, like, I really like the player that Sabonis is. I like the fact that he averaged, you know, 19.4 points, 8.2 assists, and 13.7 rebounds last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Kings are, they've put an emphasis on offensive rebounding this year. So you're going to see the guys on in the corners crashing a lot more, right? Going for rebounds, offensive rebounds.
Yeah, it can't be Domas by himself down there.
No. And so I think if you have those crashers, it will give you more opportunity to have Sabonis as a trailer or as a three-point shooter, you know, catching a catch and shoot, whatever it is. He doesn't need to create. He doesn't have to get fancy. This is going to be very, very, like, specific situation where he has an open look and he needs to stop tapping his foot and stop pump faking and just actually take the shot.
Yeah, man, that would just, because you get out on the run, you get it to Domas as a trailer, and then he stops and he's looking at it. It's like, no, just put it up.
Yeah.
Shoot it. We're trying to keep pace here, man.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. So hopefully, and maybe he doesn't. Maybe DeMar DeRozan brings enough offensive creation, enough and enough shot making with De'Aaron Fox, with Malik Monk, that, hey, you know what? Domas is a factor. Scoring doesn't matter what he does. He's going to get his points. You know, barreling through centers and getting his rebounds and putbacks, and he's going to get to 18 to 20 points that way. And the three-pointers just don't matter. But, man, I think the maximized version of this Kings offense is just that. Again, not trying to design three-pointers for him. And some games he's not going to shoot any. Some games he might shoot six.
Yeah.
But just trying to, within the flow of the offense, because they're there for him within the offense. And that's maybe that's what I've been misconveying in this. I'm not saying they need to design threes for Domas. But when they are there, and we've done it, we've sat at games together and been like, you got to shoot that. You got to shoot that.
Yep.
Nope. All right. Ball's back on the floor. They're into the offense. There's 8 seconds left on the shot clock. Hopefully De'Aaron Fox can get to the mid-range. Like that. That's just, I think the offense will be more efficient if they start utilizing that more often. And maybe they do, maybe they don't. But that's how DeMar fits is obviously the top thing everyone's watching. But B, whether Domas does that or not is going to be the other thing that I'm keeping a very, very close eye on.
Yeah, I agree. And like, look, last year, Harrison Barnes averaged 4.7 3-point attempts per game. You need to find a way to make up for those because you're looking at DeRozan, who's around 2.8 threes per game. In order to keep that spacing, DeRozan needs to shoot three and a half threes a game, but his percentages are way lower career-wise or like over the last couple of years than what we've seen from Sabonis. So you almost, you kind of have to pick your poison there and say, okay, can I get 1.5 more out of Domas and can I get 0.7 more out of, DeRozan and somehow come up with a formula that gets closer to what your offense looked like last year. And maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I definitely think that there's room for improvement from Sabonis, not just in the percentage, but in the just the raw number of threes that he takes.
I can't wait for basketball, man.
Yeah.
I'm so fascinated by what this is going to look like. There's two reasons for excitement. One, it's so new. It's so different. This isn't Chris Duarte. This is not, oh yeah, Jalen McDaniels. Like that's, throw him in there and see what it looks like. Now this is just a player who's going to fundamentally change what the Kings are doing offensively. Now you've got the coach talking about fundamentally changing what their center does, their offensive focal point. A, that's exciting just because it's going to be different.
Yeah.
And B, it's like, dude, they might just be good as hell. Like the more we talk about this and the more here's what, this sounds so counterintuitive and this sounds so dumb. This sounds so sports radio. It's illogical. This is not, there's no empirical data to back this up. It's just a vibe. And that's what I go off a lot of the time. I listen to a couple different NBA podcasts. I read various NBA writers and the amount of people that just are like, yeah, the Kings are what they're 46, 48. When I think the Ringer NBA show, their power rankings, they had the Kings at 17, something like that. 17, I think. 17, 18. Ooh. Somewhere below 15, like below the middle mark.
Okay.
And it's just like, man, does being in Sacramento just give me purple colored glasses? Like, maybe that's it. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe just talking to people around the team, and there's the vibes are great with the team, and there's optimism there. Maybe that's coloring my view of what the Kings are. Maybe their defense in their second unit is just abysmal, and they just get run off the floor with their second unit, even with Malik out there. But sure, maybe. But, like, I can't get there. And, maybe I'm just Kings-pilled doing radio here and doing media here for so long. But I think they're going to be really good, and all the people at Hoops, True Hoop.
Yeah. You said David Thorpe.
Yeah, David Thorpe had him at like 46 wins. You got the Ringer NBA Show guys. Who, this is not Kevin O'Conn, man. This is Wozni Lambre and Justin Verrier and Rob Mahoney. Like, I think they're not perfect basketball analysts, but I think they're generally pretty objective, and mm-hmm. like, man, am I missing something here? Like, I just, and all the people going like, yeah, 46 wins, yeah, they're 18th best, 17th best team in the league, whatever. I just, all of that helps my vibe with the Kings, and it's just like, man, they're gonna win like 52 games. They might just be like 3 or 4 seed, and everyone's gonna be like, whoa, the Kings. It's like, yeah, man, we've been here. We're letting you know.
I don't know. I might be crazy. I don't think you're off base, man. Like, we'll do like a prediction show, like right before the start of the season. Like, we'll go through and look at, you know, how many wins we think they'll get. We'll look at who their MVP might be and all that stuff. Their breakout player of the year. But for me, like, this team is really, really strong at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about the injuries, and I'm concerned about the depth right now, mm-hmm. and I'm concerned about the, like, I'm concerned that they aren't getting the same challenge in training camp that they have historically. Like, you have so many players, rotational players, that are sitting right now that aren't there every day, that it's really, like, we always, you know, there's all these sports cliches and stuff, like the iron sharpens iron thing. It's a little rough, like, when you're playing against, you know, third and fourth team guys every day in training camp because your second team guys are just all gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good situation to be in.
Good point.
And so I think the preseason is going to be extremely important for this team.
Starts tomorrow.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow against Golden State Warriors, 7:30 start, ESPN.
Watch out for Lindy Waters.
Yeah, there you go. But I think it's one of those things where we won't know what they look like until they get on the floor against somebody else and start playing actual basketball. And that's because, you know, first of all, you don't get to see a lot of training camp. But right. Secondly, the guys they're going up against aren't historically NBA players. They're not seasoned, experienced NBA players. And that's a difficult thing to overcome. So I'm hoping that they start getting guys back. I'm hoping that Kevin Herter and Jordan McLaughlin and, you know, again, Trey Lyles, like, these guys get back on the court. But there's a big difference. Like, just think of it that way. Like, what if they're not playing on day one of the regular season and you're going in with some guys who don't have experience? You would instantly think, oh, that's not a good thing, right? Yeah. Well, what would make it a good thing that that's who your starters are practicing against every single day? And it's a little rough. So, and that's not to call these guys out. I mean, there's nothing you can do to get more experience except for play the game. Mm-hmm. And so it's a good thing that some of these guys are getting a ton more reps than they would normally. It's good for them, mm-hmm. but it might not be good for the whole. Yeah. And that's a problem.
Yeah, no doubt. I can't wait to overreact to the game tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Dude, Thursday I'm coming in hot. I just, whatever happens in that game, I'm making sweeping declarations.
Well, keep in mind, though, that the Warriors have already played games.
I think they played one.
Okay. But one game against other opponents. Yeah.
I don't care about preseason at all.
Oh, no.
I'm excited to see the starters and what that looks like. Excited to see, you know, Colby Jones, obviously. Colby Jones fan club. We're in the house. Mason Jones, obviously. Some of the guys, Isaac Jones, Isaiah Crawford. I'm seeing those guys move
just
around.
Just say Jones and Ellis. I'm just excited to see Jones and Ellis. That encompasses like seven players right there.
Right. Just to kind of see, but that's more, what does this look like? And potential, is there potential long-term contributions here?
Yeah.
Not like, hey, any of those guys are going to have a major impact on this year. I'm just not. Who is the guy? Who is the guy for the Kings that had the huge preseason summer league game and that like opener? Law? No, he had a arms.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Adonis Arms.
Adonis Arms, yes.
Oh, man. What happened to Adonis Arms?
I don't know. But he was, like, that's kind of what.
Yeah.
That exact type of performance is why I'm 100% not going to overreact, but I'm going to do it for the radio.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to have fun with that.
I'm here for your overreactions Thursday. Overreactions.
We're going to have fun with it, for sure. All right. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Damian Barling went to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know Damian, that sounds like oil and water mixing. Damon had a great time, and he's going to tell us about it. Coming up next here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Voice guy, say the same thing, please.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Door. Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
John, the sales guy yesterday, we love John. He's sitting in one of the offices, one of the vacated offices, and he looks at me with this kind of like not like a smirk, I guess, kind of like a, I guess in if I was writing a book, I would describe it as like a wry grin, right?
Kind of. Oh,
like,
okay.
And I'm walking up and I was like, what's up? And he goes, when's karaoke night?
Oh, no.
And I was like, what? And he goes, you should have seen what you started the other night, man. Because before I left our party, I had told Complex, well, long story short, Complex basically challenged me to do Blow the Whistle by Too Short.
Okay.
And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. It's a work function. Then I was getting ready to leave and he played it as I was getting ready to leave. I was like, all right, now I feel called out. Like, now I for sure feel called out. So I had to do it to him. I had to let him know.
You started something for sure.
Yeah. Burnt the place down. It was great. And then I get videos. I'm not even out of the parking lot yet. And I get a text from James and I'm like, oh, did I leave something? And I open it and it's Jonathan, our engineer, doing the, I forget what it's called, the Up In Here song by DMX.
Just ridiculous.
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind?
Yeah.
That song, and then I get another video of Damian doing a song, and then when I get home, I go on Instagram and there's you doing karaoke. I've got one of Katie. There's one of did Justine and Stacy do one? Who are all these people in the office? All these salespeople.
It went for hours, just so you know, hours.
Right,
I was like here for hours.
People stopped posting because it was like, hey, we've posted too many videos of people singing. And no, John, and I was like, oh, yeah, I was like, that was cool. And he's like, no, when are we going? So I'm trying to line up an Odyssey karaoke night.
I think he was really wanting to have, like, to have karaoke, but I don't think, like, the playlist wasn't
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. He was like, none of the songs really hit my vibe. So I told him, I was like, bro, we'll duet Rocket Man by Elton John.
Yeah.
He's like, love that song. I'm like, perfect.
Okay.
So I'm trying to line that up.
Okay. I'm in.
Great. I know you are. I know you're down for some karaoke. Okay, so we're having a really great time at the break at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Salute to the Chatty House. Terrific show as always, guys. I want to do a real or fake segment, like buy or sell.
Okay.
It's just a gimmicky radio segment, right? But I didn't want to call it buy or sell or real or fake. And so I crowdsourced some name ideas from the Chatty House. And tons of good suggestions.
Okay.
And so what we're going to do is we're just going to call this something different every week.
Okay, just random.
Yeah, so there's there's a couple suggestions I can't use.
Yeah, there's some inappropriate ones.
We're going to go with Boom or Doom today. Boom or Doom is going to be the name of the segment today.
Okay.
So Boom or Doom. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the NFL playoff teams, and you tell me, feel good about that team keeping their playoff spot, or do you think that team is going to fall out of the playoff picture?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
And then we'll go into some teams that are not in the postseason. Boom or Doom. Is this team going to boom or are they doomed?
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a boom for me.
Yeah, it's a boom.
Chiefs are making the playoffs. Right.
Oh, no, for sure. Okay. They're making the playoffs. They're probably number one seed.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go outside of the division leaders because it's Houston, Baltimore, Buffalo. We're good with all them.
Yeah, for sure. On Buffalo, Baltimore. Yeah. All three.
Yep. What about Pittsburgh? They're the 5 seed right now out of the AFC North.
I'm gonna say doom.
Okay.
Well, you know what? They might be boom just because there really isn't anyone else.
So that's why I wanted to do this exercise.
Yeah.
Because my knee-jerk reaction with the Steelers is they're a doom team. Mm-hmm. Like they don't, I mean, they looked bad against the Cowboys, and Justin Fields is talented enough to probably keep them in some games, but is he so good that he's going to drag them to the playoffs? Like, I don't know. But then you go, here are the teams chasing Pittsburgh. Denver?
Never.
Denver sitting at 3-2?
Nope.
I do not believe Denver is going to make the playoffs. The Chargers? I think the Chargers are going to make the postseason.
Maybe if Herbert gets back full strength and they start looking good.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're coming off a bye, right?
Yes. Herbert needs to get healthy for sure. But I'm gonna rock with the Chargers for now. But then here are the teams. So when you start talking about Denver falling out, okay, so that means one of these teams is going to climb up. And to get Pittsburgh out of there, you need a second team to climb up. Mm. The New York Jets?
No.
Vibes are bad. I'm down on the Jets.
Yep, me too.
The Raiders?
No.
Don't trust them.
No.
Miami?
No.
I could see it with Miami. Mm. Tua comes back. If Tua comes back and stays healthy, I could see. Because we're talking about Denver and Pittsburgh. So you need two teams to drop out and two teams to fill those spots. I could see Miami being one of those teams. As long as Tua comes back and is healthy.
Okay.
Indy?
Maybe, but I'm not sold.
No. Tennessee?
No. Not at all.
Cleveland?
No.
Cleveland stinks.
No, they're horrible.
There's going to be a full-blown mutiny against Deshaun Watson. Do you know how bad you have to be that your fan base is like actively rooting that there's a lawsuit against you that allows them to get out of your contract?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the players rock with him. I think he's mentally fried.
That's the biggest thing.
Thanks, bro.
You know, they talked about it a little bit on this weekend on some of the football shows that I was watching, where they talked about how, you know, he used to have all this confidence and just like this vibe about him, and he's lost all of that. And they don't know how to get that back.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying at some point, like, you have no choice but to do what's right for the team. And what's right for the team is to put anyone else in there.
Yeah, right. Like, Joe Flacco was awesome for them last year.
Yeah.
And they let him walk because he was too good.
Yep.
And if you're the Browns right now, you're looking at 1-4, you're watching Deshaun Watson get off to the worst start a quarterback has ever gotten off to with the Browns. That's saying something.
Oh, yeah, that's saying something.
At some point, your roster is going to start looking at the coaching staff and being like, this guy?
Yeah.
This is it?
Yeah, this is a
franchise.
At some
point, you're going to lose the locker room, man.
This is a franchise that had Johnny Manziel on the roster.
Yeah.
At one point.
Or Tim Couch or
Yeah.
I'm now struggling to think of all the bad Browns quarterbacks, but you get it. Like Jason Campbell was there for a minute.
Oh, forgot about Jason.
Brandon Whedon. Right. It's just been a mess, right? But anyways, Jacksonville?
I hate saying this, but they are bad.
I don't trust their coaching staff. I think their coaching staff stinks.
Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence is just not him.
Yeah, at least not. No. Cincinnati is the other team. I'm not selling my Cincinnati stock yet.
I'm not either.
Cincinnati's a boom team for me. All those other teams, doom.
I hate it, but you have to at least look at them and go, okay.
But this just goes back, and as we bring this back to Pittsburgh at the 5 seed, I don't know that I'm super confident that Miami and Cincinnati or any of the other teams we just talked about are gonna climb up.
No, that's true.
So it's gonna be fascinating to watch. In the NFC, Minnesota. What are we doing on Minnesota?
Yeah, as of right now, they're the best team in football.
Yeah, they're making the playoffs. They might get the bye, man. They're 5-0.
It's them and then the Chiefs and then a whole bunch of I don't knows.
What about Washington?
We looked at their schedule and there's potential for them to be to be a 12-win team without.
Yeah, they might get to 8-3.
Yeah, I mean, so as of right now, you know what? I'm in on them. I think
me too, man.
I think they're a playoff team. I think their quarterback, their young quarterback, is absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
and I want to see what Daniels can do.
Me too.
Just really a baller.
Where are we at with Atlanta?
Yeah, they've got too much firepower. All the three teams in the NFC South, all three of them won't make it. So I'm going to say the Bucs and the Falcons are going to be the two teams that make it and that the Saints are out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. I kind of want to see what happens with Carr and the injury he sustained last night. I don't think we know what it is yet.
I'm out on New Orleans.
Okay.
I was out on New Orleans to start the year. And the more we watch them, the more their first 2 weeks look super fraudulent.
Yeah.
Out.
Who's their backup quarterback that they threw in
Jake Haener, Fresno State legend.
Jake Haener.
Julie Haener, Bay Area media legend. It's her kid.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
His preseason team photos are funny.
Are they?
They
have a good time with them?
I guess. I don't know. You'll look at them, you'll be like, oh, huh.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I'll check that out. Yeah, Atlanta's a boom team for me. I don't know if they win the division or not, but I think they have enough defensively, and I just think Kirk Cousins is good enough to get you to the playoffs, especially in that division. I think Tampa Bay is good, but I'm not buying the Saints, and I'm certainly not buying the Panthers. What about Seattle?
No, I mean, okay. I feel like that there are better teams. They're like a bubble playoff team for me. I mean, offensively, I think they're good. Defensively, I don't think that they're great.
The segment today is called Boom or Doom. Are you booming or dooming?
I'm going to doom.
You're going to doom the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're not, to me, the NFC West, this goes for the 49ers, the Cardinals, the Rams, and Seattle. So all four teams, the NFC West, just like I said, you're welcome. I think they're going to get one playoff team. The division winner is going to be the 4 seed and
I would agree
the 3 or 4 seed or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
Got to be their one
division winner.
Yep. Detroit.
Oh yeah, Detroit's a boom team for sure.
Yep, right there with you. What about Chicago? Chicago currently the 6 seed at 3-2. Caleb Williams looks like he's figuring it out a little bit. Or do the Panthers just stink?
Oh no, it's for sure the Panthers stink.
Maybe both.
Yeah, both things can be true. I don't know. I think they're going to get caught up in the wash a little bit. I think that there are too many teams that are kind of that I would put in the rise in the boom category. I think they're probably a year away, Chicago.
They have potentially a brutal second half of the year.
Yeah.
So their bye week is week 7. Chicago gets Washington at Washington coming out of the bye.
Okay.
Then they're at Arizona. Then home against New England. Then they get Green Bay, Minnesota, at Detroit, at San Francisco, at Minnesota, home Detroit, home Seattle, at Green Bay.
Oh, yeah, they're going to lose their last 6.
That is a gauntlet, dude.
Yeah, that's...
Assuming the 49ers figure it out. Assuming Seattle's still good. But that's a really, really tough schedule for... I'm going to... I'm gonna doom the Bears today.
I'm gonna doom the Bears too.
Yeah, but that could change. Like I said, we're gonna do this every week. We'll reassess because that's what the NFL season is all about. The Chicago Bears' strength of victory, which is the combined winning percentage of the teams they've beaten, is 0.214.
Oh,
yeah. They beat the Rams and the Panthers, who are 2-8 combined.
Okay.
All right. But we can put a pin in that. We can talk NFL all week because Damian Barling is here for the handoff, fresh off a trip to Disneyland. Super impressive that you did the wake-up call on 106.5 The End this morning in Disneyland, got on the PJ, and made it here in time for your program at noon. That's incredible.
The magic of radio, baby. The magic of radio. No, that was awesome. I had so much fun this weekend. I had a blast with Katie. She was like having a VIP tour guide all throughout Disney World.
Incredible.
It got to the point where before we left, I think it might have been Sunday night where we're walking around and I'm like, how many times have you been here? Because she walks everywhere with great confidence.
Yes.
Like she never looks. She's never looking for landmarks. She was like, no, it's this way. Yes. And she was never wrong.
Right.
She's been there like several dozen times.
Yeah.
So she'd point out, do you know that Walt Disney is pointing to the exact coordinates that his brother is at Disney World? And then she talked about the lamp in the office was the changeover. It was awesome.
I'm really glad you got to experience that with somebody who is like a Disney person.
Yeah, for sure. Like I don't think I could have had a better time with anyone else.
And that was I wasn't
you and Heather excluded. Like
yeah,
I think
well
that
obviously
been a
yeah,
blast.
Thanks.
And we do have gifts for you, by the way, for you and the.
You didn't have to. That's so nice. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to take full credit for it. Katie was like, hey, we got to get Heather and Kyle something.
That's so nice. Wow, yeah. That's so sweet. I was not that I was worried really that you were going to have a bad time because nobody goes to Disneyland and is like, this sucks. Well, some people do, but those people are weird. I was concerned that you would come back and be like, it was fine. I don't get it. Because sometimes like just the reaction, if you didn't grow up in it and you're not around it a lot, like maybe that's just, but the fact that you were on social as like hyped as you were, you texted me at 10:18 on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm having such a great time.
No,
I haven't even
gone
to Disneyland yet.
No, we haven't.
It's like, this is amazing. No, I'm so happy.
I'd been up since 2:30 on Sunday.
Yeah, like, so you flew down Sunday morning.
Yep.
It was a disaster getting there, apparently.
Not good. it wasn't the best. My partner was throwing up, and she was concerned that we might not be able to pull this off. And to her credit, it was like, look, we didn't book these flights, so we can't change them. We'd have to go through Disney to change them. And she was like, okay, it's okay. I got it. And so we got there, and it was a bit messy once we got to the airport. I didn't navigate. I became a bit disheveled. But we got on the flight. We got there. Disney takes great care of you, so the car was there. We got to the hotel, and the room wasn't ready. Because it was like 7 in the morning, the rooms weren't ready. So it was just like, well, let's just go out.
Drop off our bags and go.
Grab some coffee and went. And it was awesome. One, because no one was there.
Yeah.
There were barely any people there at 8 o'clock in the morning. And the way they stagger it is we could get into California Adventure on Sunday at 8 o'clock. But we couldn't get into Disneyland until 11.
Right.
It was the opposite on Monday.
Oh, right. Nice.
So we could get into Disneyland at 8 and California Adventure at 11. But yeah, we were walking around and it was like, this is great. We, you know, like I said, we had our coffee, a little breakfast, and she's just explaining stuff to me. And then eventually you knew the place. We got an alcoholic beverage somewhere.
And yeah, the Lamplight Lounge?
No, was it called? Maybe. I don't remember. But I know it was awesome.
Great.
And it was just a blast. I had a lot of fun.
The Grand Californian is beautiful, right?
It is. It's very nice. The rooms are, they're, yeah, it's very nice. Yeah.
We're gassing it up.
It's dope. It's very nice.
Did you use the entrance into California Adventure from?
Yes.
There? Nice, dude.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yeah. You are 100% right. You roll out of bed and walk right into the park.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And no one else gets to do that. So, I mean, that's what's really cool.
No, it was very dope.
Yeah.
I love that for you, Matt. What was your favorite attraction?
The first ride we went on, we didn't get to experience a ton of rides, not out of like desire to, it's just we were spacing things out and mm-hmm. doing different things. But the first thing we did, I think it was called Soarin'.
Yes.
Loved it. Yeah. Oh my God, I love that. So the first two rides we did that day were Soarin' and then the Cars.
Radiator Springs Racers.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. we did a video, I think, with that one. But Soarin' was a blast because I thought I'd been on rides like that before, and I thought I picked up on to what was going on. You know, the thing's not really going to move. It's just going to be the screen, and maybe it's going to do this. And then I realized, oh, no, it lifts.
Yep,
it's up. Like, okay, I kind of didn't really think that was happening. I just thought the screen was going to come closer, and it was going to do all of this stuff. So I was a bit startled when we took off over the mountains. And I grabbed Katie, which wasn't like, it was fine, like whatever. But she caught me grabbing the other rail as if we were on like some sort of scary roller coaster. And I look over and everybody's just sitting there smiling. And I'm like, all right, whatever.
Well, if you go into that ride, you've been on Soarin', correct?
Yeah.
If you've been on that, if you go on that ride thinking, I'm going to sit like, and it's going to be like a movie. And all of a sudden, so did you see the ride mechanism?
Yes.
It goes like this.
Yep. Yeah.
So if you're expecting to sit there like a movie theater all of a sudden you're moving,
yep.
That's jarring. And then you look down and you're like, oh, I'm up here.
Yep.
Like, yeah, if you're not ready for it,
Yeah. So I was like, it was my fault, though, because no one told me that.
Right.
I fooled myself into thinking that's what this was.
Yeah.
Now,
understandable.
When did you go to Disney? You went to Disney on the actual park on Monday?
No. We went to Disneyland.
Both days?
Later that evening. Yeah, we definitely went both days. But we wound up in Disneyland after dinner, like 5 or 6 o'clock on Sunday night.
Okay.
Did you do any attractions there?
We did a couple of Star Wars rides.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did Smuggler's Run.
Yes.
How'd that go?
We did that. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was interesting. You...
I know you're a big Star Wars hawk.
There's
so
a lot of
probably like.
I can't say I fully understood everything that was happening, but it was that was fun.
Okay,
there were a couple of really good ones that we did. When we went back Monday, our time was limited because we actually, you know, to break kayfabe a little bit. We recorded everything that you heard this morning on the end.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded it from roughly 6 to 10 a.m. yesterday,
right?
And then we had to pack up our rooms. Put our bags downstairs, and then we went to the park for a few hours before going to LAX. So we didn't quite have as much time to get on rides. Like, we checked wait times and used the app and did all of that stuff, but it didn't really a lot for it. It was like, cool, let's just go hang out, grab some lunch, and
that's a vibe.
And yeah,
it's a good spot to hang out.
All right,
I'm glad you enjoyed it, man.
I did. I think two of my closest friends now are Disney people, because you know, me and Katie are thick as thieves now, and you. So now I got to get into the now, and now I got the Nightmare Before Christmas with James.
This is great.
Which I've committed to watching that movie this year, and if
you're
I have to buy
a 13-foot
jack, then I got to buy a 13-foot jack.
Hey, this is gonna sound so weird. Oh shoot, we gotta go. Can we watch that movie together?
That does sound weird.
Can we watch it together?
Yeah, okay. We can watch it together.
Okay, thanks.
You didn't have to ask that on the air. Yeah.
I know where you're going. It's fine.
I just want to hang out with the homies, and it's weird now.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
All right. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.